Morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great.
Happy drill.
Happy drill. Happy 3-day drill.
Happy 3-day.
Different than the 4-day drill. Way different than 2-day drills.
Yeah.
It's the first time we're doing this.
It's one extra day.
One extra day.
But it could be like a whole world of a difference. Could feel like a whole extra week.
This might be the sweet spot.
Maybe we'll love it.
I think we will.
Yeah. We'll ask for that next year.
Yeah. It's Nori weekend. So it's our nuclear operational readiness exercise. We'll be doing all of the same things as we will for the inspection coming up in 2025.
Mm-hmm.
The support agencies supporting the KC-135 flying mission
mm-hmm.
will be wrapped up in this exercise to get us ready.
We will.
We will. Also, PA will, of course.
HQ.
Both in coverage and working here at headquarters. So this will be to get us ready for next March. So this weekend is the agencies we just listed. It's their chance to exercise, to demonstrate our role in the Air Force's most important no-fail mission
mm-hmm.
that we have here. So,
speaking of the KC-135s.
Speaking of them.
They're back.
They're back.
And the community is beside themselves.
Yeah, they love it. We love it.
Excited.
We're excited to have them back and have an active airstrip again here. It's pretty
been
cool.
Very quiet this summer.
So our air refueling group, along with the support agencies, logistics, security forces, fire protection across the board, we had to get those aircraft out of the base
mm-hmm.
right after our air show so our runway could be resurfaced, mm-hmm. right? But that did not stop the air refueling mission
right.
from going on. So they still had to work.
Still had to do the
job.
We
did not close up shop just because we were getting our runway resurfaced.
Right.
So what they actually did was, and this was a huge undertaking by the air refueling group and those agencies, was to move our KC-135s mm-hmm. off of Selfridge and to work from dispersed locations mm-hmm. around Michigan.
Right.
The two locations primarily were Detroit Metro Airport
mm-hmm.
and Marquette Sawyer Regional Airport, formerly KI Sawyer Air Force Base.
Mm-hmm.
Those locations were chosen because of their already existing infrastructure
mm-hmm.
and the fact that they have runways that can support landing our KC-135 stratotankers.
Right.
So nearly 100 airmen from the air refueling group volunteered. This was an all-volunteer mission. So I was talking to Colonel Volker, the commander of the ARG, and she told me that everybody that was part of this put their hand up that they wanted to do it.
Oh,
so
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Didn't know that either. And the planning for this took place right after they got back from a deployment overseas
mm-hmm.
and while planning for this NORI. She had told me that the majority of the coordination for this highly successful muscle movement was done by tech sergeants and master sergeants. Yeah, NCOs leading
NCOs.
The way.
Woo-hoo.
That's right. And she couldn't be more proud of her team and, of course, the teams of the support agencies that assisted in this. So
excellent.
Yeah, so they're all back now. And
back.
Yeah, we're happy about that.
They're back. We had a KC-135 shaped hole in our hearts also.
That's right.
It's filled up. You did some awesome work. You put out a video today that I saw that talks a lot about the statistics of what they accomplished while they
right.
were dispersed this summer. Right. And one thing that got me was over 3 months, they transferred 1.1 million pounds of fuel to more than 110 receivers.
Adds up to a lot of fuel.
That's crazy to think about it.
I'd be interested to talk to one of our boomers to see, were they refueling mainly heavy aircraft? Because that's like a lot of fuel.
That's like 10,000 pounds per receiver.
Right. So yeah, impressive stats from mm-hmm. the summer. And all done while separated from their home base. So
welcome back.
Welcome back and amazing work.
You know, our other side of the house, the A-10 side, they are still overseas doing our nation's business.
Right.
So we look forward to their return soon.
Absolutely.
And while everybody's reuniting with their families or looking forward to reuniting soon, this month we're really focusing on families.
The family.
And taking care of people.
That's right.
So we have a lot of resources here. A lot that maybe aren't talked about enough that can support airmen and their families. And a lot of those resources are housed in our Airman Wellness Center.
Right, the Airman Wellness Center.
Do you remember when that opened?
Was it 2019?
Yeah, we actually had a ribbon cutting.
I remember the visual because at the time, Brigadier General Mammen
mm-hmm.
was there. Now, Major General retired
yes.
Mammen. Major General Mammen retired.
Yeah.
He was he cut the ribbon for it. And I remember in the picture, there were OCPs, ABUs, probably BDUs. Like, it was just, there was a little bit of everybody there.
Yeah.
So, 2019.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
We were a rainbow crew here in the Air Guard. So, was that, am I correct?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay,
you're right.
Yeah.
And fun fact, the Air National Guard doesn't actually fund chapel facilities. And because we had the chapel as a holdover from our Air Force days, we transformed it. We stopped calling it chapel, and we turned it into the Airman Wellness Center.
So that's why we don't call it a chapel.
Right.
Okay.
Even though it still supports religious services.
Right. So I think a lot of people are under the impression that it was a political correctness thing. So that's a good
it's a good point
to make. Yeah. I never knew that.
Right.
Learning right now. This is good.
That's what I'm here for.
Thank you.
So who's in there now?
So right now, we've mentioned a couple of times, Alicia Campbell and Sheila Leip, both our SARC, our sexual assault response coordinator, and our lead victim advocate. And then we have, as we just mentioned, our religious affairs office. So, and then we have our military and family readiness office, which actually encompasses several folks.
Right. They do a lot.
They do. So we have Mr. John Harvey, who's our military and family readiness coordinator. Who else do we have? I know we have the Yellow Ribbon Program over there. That's Sergeant Williams.
Sergeant Williams handles the Yellow Ribbon Program. We have Senior Master Sergeant Sketch Peruski. And who else?
And then we have Mr. Gary Salot.
Yes.
Who, he's our financial advisor.
So that being said, military family readiness team, full-time staff, is not the same as the family readiness group.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. Who do amazing work for us and for our both incoming and outgoing deployers. But they work separate and together with our military family and family readiness group.
So the FRG is volunteers.
Correct.
And the other team are...
They are employed members of the wing.
Right. Okay.
So,
okay. That's a good distinction.
But a lot of great
make.
Things happen over there.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm excited about the turkey giveaway that we're going to have on Sunday.
I get excited for it every year, and I've yet to get a turkey.
Yeah. I feel like that's your trope. You always want a turkey, but you can't get a turkey.
And then I come back and I'm angry the rest of the day.
Yeah. And none of us ever help you out by going to get a turkey for you.
That's true.
And that's going to be from 11 to 2 at the commissary, first come, first serve.
But take it from me. If you show up at 1300, you're not getting a turkey. So unless this year...
You put your name on the list.
They're taking a list for people because we all work different hours.
And we're going to be having the Nori this weekend.
And we have the Nori this weekend.
So if you can't get away from your work center to go get your one per family free turkey, you can put your name on a list.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is, that's great planning on the planner's part.
I might do a turkey this year.
Yeah, do a turkey.
It's another awesome event that they have every year in December during drill is the Breakfast with Military Kids.
Right.
So they have a cap on how many children they can accommodate, and there's age eligibility requirements. So there's a QR code. You can go and sign up, and they will take your child from 6:30 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon on Sunday of December drill, and they'll get to have breakfast with Santa, and they'll do all sorts of holiday things, crafts. And they usually have a ton of fun. So
they do. Yeah, that's why they put a cap on it, because that's actually a very... That's a pretty popular event.
Right. What's more of a bonus than a free turkey for Thanksgiving and childcare on Sunday of December drill?
Well, I don't know. Maybe a $1,000 referral bonus?
What?
Yeah, if you could believe it, the $1,000 referral bonus.
We heard.
Refers to finding members, friends, family.
Yeah.
People off the street.
Neighbors down the street.
Neighbors down the street. Getting people to come to the 127th wing.
Yeah.
The referral bonus is for the member. So if you were to get someone to sign up, go to BMT, go to tech school, to join this wing, you could receive a referral bonus. Now, that used to be $500. Now it's $1,000.
Yeah.
So something that came out at the beginning of October is the fiscal year 25 Air National Guard operational guidance, which lists a host of bonuses.
Yeah. The bonuses are incredible.
Yeah.
Just like they were at the end of last year.
Right.
So there's retraining bonuses of up to 90,000 and new accession bonuses of up to 50,000.
Right.
It looks like.
So yeah, it's pretty up there.
Yeah, there's a lot of jobs that qualify for these bonuses. Sergeant Hamm with the recruiting flight chief says that a lot of people shy away from the referral bonus because they feel like there's a lot of process involved or that it takes a very long time to get that money. And he says that's a misnomer because the reality is it's very easy to apply.
Good.
Through a website. There's just a simple form to fill out. And once your person comes back from their training, then you get the check pretty quickly. So
that's great.
Yeah, it's definitely worth looking into.
For sure.
Because we are all recruiters.
Yeah, every one of us.
Walking down the street, in our uniform, picking your kids up from school. Right. We're inspiring.
That's right.
So
walking around Meijer.
Yeah, may as well get paid for it.
Yeah. So, yeah, so with the bonus announcement, that's all we have for in here. Like we said earlier, be sure to go on and check out, you know, seeing our KC-135s come back. You probably got some really great stuff because I saw you on top of building 50. You're walking around the roof, so you probably got a good, like, overall shot.
Yeah.
Of everybody coming in.
Yeah, I have to say that's one of my favorite places to shoot.
On top of building 50.
On top of building 50, especially during the
air show. We went up there for the air show. We always get good stuff up there because you can see the whole ramp.
Yeah.
Everybody kind of milling around our time-lapse videos normally taken from there.
Yeah, yeah. And it's actually kind of precarious to get up there. The stairs are very steep.
And very old.
Very old.
Yeah.
And that is one of the original operations buildings.
Right.
Here, right?
Yeah.
It used to be our tower before we had a tower.
So the air traffic control tower. Is that what the crow's nest is?
Yeah. It's got like the 360 view.
No way.
Yeah.
It makes sense because it's like a glass little little hutch up there, but
yeah,
that's awesome.
I know. It's very cool. There's a lot of history. And I also heard that there's a special guest book.
Yes. Yeah. Have you ever seen that?
No, I haven't.
Oh my God. It's amazing.
Have you seen it?
I have. Yeah. So my first time visiting Building 50 right after I started working here, I was inside. They used to have a VIP lounge, which I don't know if it's still there. I haven't really explored since they did the construction over there. But they have a guest book for VIPs to sign.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was looking through this guest book, and I saw President Clinton,
whoa,
President Bush.
What?
Yes, President Ford. Like, everybody who's a VIP has signed this book. So anybody that comes through the base that was formerly base ops, they would have them sign this book, and it sits over there, and it's amazing. I can't believe you haven't seen that.
Is it under like a glass display?
No, it's sitting on a coffee table.
Is it like a small book?
It's a pretty big book. It's like a big, like, ledger style leather bound book.
Interesting.
You've never seen it?
No, I've never seen it.
There's like so much about Building 50. It's
It has a lot of history.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm kind of feeling like we should go look.
You want to see this? I think
now?
With, you know what, we have a presidential election coming up. Most presidents of the past 50 years, I think, are listed in this thing. Let's give our viewers a look at this.
All right.
So we're not getting pizza this time. We're going to go look at the book.
Let's go look at Building 50.
Building 50, yes. All right, let's do it.
All right.
For a look at Sergeant Fitzpatrick and I's field trip to Building 50, please check out the November episode of the Road to Drill broadcast. Now available on YouTube by going to www.youtube.com/127WG. And now, our Deputy Wing Commander, Colonel David Spihar, will deliver the November 2024 Wing Update.
Good morning, Team Selfridge, and welcome to November Drill. Today, we're at Building 168, the Airman Wellness Center, formerly known as the Selfridge Chapel, where a host of services are provided to service the members of the 127th Wing and Selfridge Air National Guard Base. The Airman Wellness Center opened back in 2019 and is now the home of the Sexual Assault Prevention Coordinator's Office, the Religious Affairs Office, Financial Planning Services, and the Military and Family Readiness Office. The Military and Family Readiness Office, led by Mr. John Harvey, ensures that members and their families receive comprehensive support as well as enhancing their well-being and resilience during and after deployments. Services provided range from employment and financial services to the youth programs and child care resources. More information about these programs are available on our website listed below. In mid-October, construction was completed and we reopened our runway following our resurfacing project, which ran just over 3 months in length. Because of this undertaking, our flight line was closed, and as mentioned last month, our refueling mission relocated to Detroit Metropolitan Airport and Marquette-Sawyer Regional Airport. With the runway project now complete, we welcome our KC-135 Stratotankers back to Selfridge. The disbursement of our ARG took an enormous amount of coordination and teamwork and was a resounding success. We were able to continue our air refueling operations and maintain our global reach. This weekend will be our Nuclear Operational Readiness Exercise, or NORI, which is taking place to prepare us for our inspection next spring. The NORI is designed to assess and enhance the readiness of the 127th Wing to support nuclear operations. The exercise simulates the real-world conditions and procedures required to perform nuclear-related missions, ensuring that we are prepared to provide critical support in the event of a nuclear conflict or crisis. Of course, the Air Refueling Group does not do this alone. The NORIs test how quickly the unit can prepare for a mission, how quickly the aircraft can be fueled, maintained, and launched to meet time-sensitive mission requirements. This requires support from all over the base, whether it be from force support mobilizing their field kitchens, to the command staff assembling in the CAT, to our defenders keeping guard of the alert aircraft and parking ramp. These exercises ensure that refueling crews, aircraft, and command elements are fully prepared to execute their mission. As we go into November drill, our 127th operations, maintenance, and mission support group personnel remain in U.S. Central Command as part of their deployment in support of our federal mission. Their dedication and professionalism in the face of uncertainty has not gone unnoticed, and we are incredibly proud of their resilience and how they continue to uphold the mission. Until they return, we remain ready to assist these members and their families in any way we can, including their redeployment and reintegration in the near future. If you haven't had the chance yet, please log in and complete the Defense Organizational Climate Survey, or DEOCS. The purpose of the DEOCS is to gather anonymous feedback from service members and civilian personnel on various aspects of their work environment here at Selfridge, with the goal of identifying areas for improvement and prompting a healthy, productive workplace. The feedback from the survey helps leaders at all levels identify strengths and weaknesses in leadership, enabling them to make necessary changes or adjustments to enhance the effectiveness and support of their personnel better. To easily access the survey, go ahead and select the QR code right here, and that will take you directly to the survey. Your feedback is extremely valuable and will help us create a supportive, inclusive, and effective working environment within the 127th Wing. So we have a lot to do and a lot to look forward to this weekend and beyond. After this drill, we'll celebrate Veterans Day, shortly followed by Thanksgiving, and then be into the holiday season. And then in December, we'll have our wing all-call and OAY ceremony, as well as the various holiday parties throughout the unit. So with that, have a great and safe and successful NORI, and as always, we stand ready to answer the nation's call.
A trio of A-29 Super Tucano aircraft arrived at Edwards Air Force Base, California, to join the unique fleet at the U.S. Air Force Test Pilot School, October 9, 2024. The arrival marks the first newly assigned aircraft for the school in nearly 30 years, as part of the Test Pilot School's mission shift to address great power competition. Because of the A-29's airframe design, the school will be able to conduct training and research on a variety of multi-domain sensors and weapons, reducing reliance on the T-38 and F-16 aircrafts. Over 300 planners from 7 nations, 4 services, and multiple commands came together for a 5-day planning event for Air Mobility Command's upcoming summer exercise, Mobility Guardian 25. The event focused on multiple priorities, including operational level planning, integration, interoperability, and more. Mobility Guardian tests multinational forces in a theater that Air Force Chief of Staff General David Albin says is a challenge due to what he called the tyranny of distance when speaking at the recent Indo-Pacific Air Chiefs Conference in Tokyo. The DoD is now moving a limited number of service members and their families from select locations to the new Global Household Goods Contract Program, or GHC. GHC's purpose is to improve the moving process by having a single company manage all moves worldwide through a contract overseen by the Defense Department. Service members can visit the Defense Personal Property System, or DPS, landing page and answer a series of questions to help determine if their next shipment will be carried out under GHC or the Legacy Program. That's your look around the Air Force. I'm Staff Sergeant Stephanie Barge.
As we mentioned throughout the podcast so far, it is NORI weekend, and though alternative dining options are available for exercise players, it will not have an effect on normal dining operations. The eSpec mobile dining unit will be deployed out to the active exercise area and will be serving dinner on Friday night at 1800. The mobile dining menu consists of bacon cheeseburgers, chicken burgers, and baked beans. For daytime exercise players, bagged lunches will be served and have already been coordinated through supervision. If these options do not apply to you, the DFAC will be open at normal hours throughout the weekend from 11 to 12:30. Friday's menu is roast stuffed green peppers, chicken stuffed green peppers, Italian roasted potatoes, and mac and cheese. Saturday's menu is brisket, roast turkey, mashed potatoes, candied yams, corn, and green beans. And for Sunday, I actually do not have Sunday's menu, so maybe check that out when you're there on Friday or Saturday. In the spirit of the many plugs for Airmen and Family Readiness so far this podcast, we also have a host of virtual events being put on by the USO. The events range from mastering LinkedIn for military spouses to building your federal resume. For more information and getting registered to take advantage of these opportunities, please contact John Harvey, the Airman and Family Readiness Program Manager, at 586-239-5583. November 11th is Veterans Day, a celebration to honor America's veterans for their patriotism, love of country, and willingness to serve and sacrifice for the common good. This year, the Selfridge Exchange will be celebrating the holiday on the 14th from 11 to 1300 with the second annual Veterans Gratitude Day. There will be guest speakers from all over Michigan, and special coins will be given out during the event, so stop on by. The 127th Medical Group has the annual flu shot in stock. If you haven't yet received your flu shot from your off-base provider and turned in the receipt to the medical group, you are due. Walk-in times this weekend will be on Saturday from 8 a.m. to 11:30, and then again from 12:30 to 1600, and then on Sunday from 8 a.m. to 1100. Other business from the medical group: if you have been diagnosed with a new medical condition or have been placed on a new medication, you must report it to the 127th Medical Group. Please send pertinent documentation to the medical group inbox at 127mdg.medical.technicians@us.af.mil. Last public affairs reminder here. If you're an OAY nominee and haven't yet received your glamour shot taken by me, please come on by this weekend to have that done. And that is all I have for this month's Road to Drill podcast. For the 127th Public Affairs Office, I am Technical Sergeant Drew Schumann. Please have a safe and productive NORI and a great November.